Now, I'm here today at the River House Barn in Walton-on-Thames, attending a really amazing exhibition of art. And in fact, it's called Tactile Portraits. And standing with me now, I have the artist who's done all of these portraits, Heather Bowring. Now, Heather, just explain, what's the title of this exhibition? What does it mean exactly?
It's called I'm Not Who You Think I Am. And it's really to sort of look at the way that we look at people. You know, when you meet someone and you make a judgment about them and you think, oh, they're serious or they're not serious or they're nice or they're not nice. And because we haven't spoken to them, we actually don't get to know them. And what I've got is a series of portraits here, and you look at them and you try and guess what that person's done or who they are. And then when you learn about them, when you press the audio description, it's often not what you thought of in the first place.
Now, what's a tactile picture exactly?
A tactile picture, in my case, I'm paint with plaster, and it's relief work. So you can run your hands over the painting, and it's raised. So if you imagine the face, you could feel the nose, the eyes, the mouth, all the detail is there, the hair, the clothes. And it's protected with varnish, so you can't cause any damage to it. And I encourage people to touch it. And what it's particularly good for, if you have any visually impaired visitors, they can also share that experience.
Now, I understand that you're one of the only artists in the country, and probably very few in the world, that do this type of art. Is it something that you always wanted to do, or was there one occasion when you thought, I'm going to do that now?
It was one occasion. I'm a self-taught artist, so about 12, 13 years ago, I started painting, and then I met a woman who had lost her sight, and she was in a gallery. And I asked her, where does she go to feel art? And she said, nowhere, my dear. You're not allowed to touch. And as a result of just that one sentence, I went home and I had a number of skills of working with plaster and wood. And I thought, I'm going to create a piece of work that you can touch. I want to protect it. It took me a little while, but I got there. And that was the very beginnings of actually turning that career around and creating work that's meant to be touched. So you imagine paintings in a gallery, you're meant to touch them. Well, mine you are anyway.
Do you ever find that if someone comes in with dirty hands or chocolate or something on their hands, that you have to clean it up afterwards?
That's not happened so far. But interestingly, the way to clean it, I've got a piece of work in the Mary Rose Museum, and I go down each year to clean it. And the very first time I went down, they said, could we get the conservators to come around and watch you? And I said, well, if you like. And I got a packet of Johnson's baby wipes, and I said, this is how I clean my paintings. It degreases them. It's just the grease from your fingers. Mm. Just degreases it, and they're done. Mm. So it takes me, on a large painting like that, about 30 minutes. It's completely clean.
Now, we've got 14 portraits here for people to see. How do you decide who you think is a good subject for a portrait, then?
I've chosen them because they've interested me. I've either seen something in the paper, on the television, met someone. You know, you can go somewhere and you think, gosh, they're really interesting. I'm surprised they're doing that job. I didn't expect them to. And I then follow it through, organise my interviews, and spend time with them, and they never fail to surprise me what else I learnt about them. Mm. So I chose them for one reason, and actually I got a bonus because I learnt so much more about them.
Mm. Now, normally you hear artists, they'll just get a picture of someone and do it. Mm. What do you do differently to the picture because you've found out certain things about them?
The most important thing is when I'm interviewing them, I'm constantly watching and looking, and I don't know how I want them to stand or face me or look to one side. And I have to work from photographs because they've come from all over the UK. I just listen to the story, and I know how I want it done. And I'm the one that chooses. So it's not, I've got to confer with anyone. That's how I want it done.
And do you find that you always check with them once you've done it to make sure they approve of it, or is that not needed?
It's not needed. What I always do is all my work is professionally photographed, so I always send them a print. Some of them have been able to come to the exhibitions, which has been really wonderful, especially when they're stood in front of their own photographs and you've got a crowd of people there.
Now, I say we've got 14 to look at today. Do you have a favourite of the ones that we can see at the River House Barn?
They're sort of like my friends now because they've been with me for so long. Really fond of Mary Ellis, the Spitfire pilot, because I see her now, I see a lot of her. I was hugely taken with Susan Campbell Duncan, who had a facial disfigurement. But then everyone I've been with, I've actually really enjoyed their company and who they are.
And what are your plans for the future?
I'm working on a project now that's inspired by Jane Austen, and I should do that for the next year or so. And I just want to bring a different slant in using her manuscripts and her writings and create work with that. Certainly till the end of the year, I should be working on that particular project.
And all the paintings you do now, are they all tactile?
Yes.
What sort of reaction have you had from partially sighted people to these paintings?
The most moving, without a doubt. Wonderful, wonderful feedback was Charlie, who was the blind volunteer who was down at the Mary Rose. And for him to feel my painting and tell other people in the room what's on the painting before they see it was the most moving moment in my career. And sadly, Charlie's now died, but that moment is always with me. And I keep his photograph near me because it was a beautiful moment.
And I think the people he must have told what it looked like were amazed when they actually saw it, that he was so right.
They were open-mouthed and couldn't believe it. And then we had to turn the painting from him to show them. And he had described even where the bolts were in the ship, the cannon, where the rigging was. He was describing what was there and telling them where the knots were. And this is how I built it up. Because it's all painted with plaster. It's the finest plaster. So you dip the brush into the plaster and you build it up. And some parts will be 20, 25 coats of plaster.
So do you think that partially sighted people have this extra sense? Because I felt some of your pictures today and I thought I wouldn't know whether that was hair or beard.
You've got to remember there's 2 million visually impaired in this country. And visually impaired means they've got to have some sight. So they can pick up on some things. The people who, the 2% that are blind, have to learn how to feel a painting. They've never felt one. They've never been allowed to. And it's learning. And when I've watched people, especially one of the elderly gentlemen, he said, I've got it. I've actually worked out how I can get around the painting. I've got it. I said, you've got to do this slowly. Just keep going round and round. I'm not going to tell you anything. Just feel it yourself. And all of a sudden he said, I've got a nose, I've got this. And he's telling me then. So that's nice. That's a really good feeling, yeah.
And this one has actually got audio as well next to it. Yeah. So for people who perhaps don't have anyone with them to tell them what's going on, they can use that.
That's a really good one. First of all, not everyone reads Braille. Very few people read it. And I didn't want to have, you know, big sheets of Braille on the wall. And actually, I think there was something really interesting about doing a portrait of someone and you press the button and the little audio box, and it's their voice that comes out of there. So you've looked at the painting, and you're trying to guess who they are and what they do. You feel it, so you're using another sense. Then you press the button to see whether you were right or not. And you hear this voice. Mm-hmm. And I think it just brings something new into the art. Between all of us, we've contacted as many organisations, told them what was going on, schools and everyone I possibly could.
I mean, as you are unique for doing tactile pictures, and it's an ideal opportunity for anyone in this area to come and see what it's like, isn't
it? Well, I hope they do, because it is different. Just come along to see if you can guess who these people are.
And even me coming along, happy to say I've got sight, I found it so fascinating to see. Well done, you, and we'll be looking out for you in all the museums and all the art galleries in years to come.
Thank you.